We need to be uncompromising in some things, folks. Amen? Concerning the Word of God. It says, the uncompromisingly righteous, the right, in right standing with God shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is firmly fixed. I want to talk about being fixed this morning. You know, you're fixed on something. Your heart is fixed on something this morning. And it says here that his heart, the righteous one, the one that's right with God, is firmly fixed. His heart is fixed, trusting, leaning on, being confident in the Lord. His heart is established. Your heart this morning is established in something, amen? Your heart is fixed on something and it's established in something. Either it's established in the Word of God, maybe it's established in CNN, maybe it's established in Fox News, maybe it's established in the log cabin, maybe it's established in what your parents said, maybe it's established in what the devil said. Whatever, your heart is established on something. Amen? Can I get an amen there? His heart is established and steady. He will not be afraid while he waits to see his desire established upon his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor and needy. His right standing, his uprightness and right standing with God endures forever. His horn shall be exalted and honored. The wicked man will see it and be grieved and angered. He will gnash his teeth and disappear in despair. Folks, let me just stop and give you a little side trip. The wicked ain't going to last. They're going to go off and they're going to fall off. They're going to go away. No one's ever going to remember the wicked. No one's ever going to remember the people that were ugly. The people that, you know, did not fulfill God's word. Nobody's ever going to remember them. But it says right here, the right one, the one that's right with God, will endure forever. It says, the desire of the wicked shall perish and come to nothing. Now, Father, I just thank you this morning in the name of Jesus to give me clarity, the anointing on high, Lord, to speak clear your word and your passion, Lord, to your people. Guide me, Lord. Holy Ghost, you are my leader, my comforter, my counselor, my advocate in time of need. And as I begin to speak, take over my lips, speak clearly, and anoint this time together. Anoint your people and anoint your word, Lord, again this morning. And we'll give you the praise, Jesus. We'll honor you and we'll reverence you because you are Lord of Lords over all. In Jesus' name, amen. We're talking about the fixed. We're talking about people that are fixed on something. And folks, some people are fixed on doubt and unbelief. Some people are fixed on trying to pay their bills. Some people are fixed on just trying to get to work tomorrow. You're fixed on something, but I want to talk about the fixed heart and the fixed man in his right standing. Now, we talked last week about right standing. What is right standing? What is the righteous man? What ability does a man that is right with God have? He has the ability to stand in the very presence of God without guilt, shame, or condemnation. He has the ability to stand before his employer without guilt, shame, or condemnation. He has the ability to stand before his family without guilt, shame, and condemnation. Those three things are little triplets that follow sin. And if guilt, shame, and condemnation are in your house at all, sin's in your house somewhere, and you need to get it out. Amen? The Bible says that Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. Amen? So, right standing is the ability to stand in the presence of God without guilt, shame, or condemnation, as if sin never occurred. Now that's pretty interesting, isn't it? Can you stand in the presence of God as if sin never occurred? Well, the Bible says you can because Jesus paid the price for it. Jesus went to Calvary and he paid. That's why the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of Jesus, Him crucified, is so powerful, Lord. That's why it's so powerful when you begin to preach Jesus and Him crucified. Why? Because it reminds us of our right standing with God. The price has been paid for us. And we have the ability to stand in the very presence of God without guilt, without shame, and without condemnation. And let me tell you something, that's where the power's at. That's where faith is generated, because when you're right with God, everything God has, you have. Everything God has, you have. Now the man that's heart is fixed on God, his heart is fixed on the Word. Go to Romans chapter 12. And you said, now wait a minute, Pastor. Go to Romans chapter 12 and look at verse 3. Now I'm reading out of the Amplified again. It says, "For by grace, unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn every one of you not to estimate or think of yourself more highly than you ought to think." You shouldn't be thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. You ought to be thinking about yourself exactly the way God thinks about you. Not any more, not any less. When you think about you and your household, you ought to be thinking about you and your household the same way God thinks about you, not any less. It says here, "Think of himself more highly than he ought to, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith appropriated by God to him." Now folks, every one of you have the power of God to be right with God on the inside of you if you're born again this morning. Everyone's been given the measure of faith. You don't have more faith than Pastor Dwayne, and Pastor Dwayne doesn't have more faith than you. Oral Roberts doesn't have more faith than you got. Benny Hinn doesn't have more faith than you got. Kenneth Copeland doesn't have more faith than you got. President Bush doesn't have more faith than you got. Those men have just exercised their faith probably more than you have. It's the same faith, it's the same measure implanted in them the day they were born again that's implanted in you. You have the same power, you have the same ability inside of you to be right with God, just as President Bush, just as Kenneth Copeland, just as Billy Graham, just as Oral Roberts, everything that they did in their life. We were talking in our power group class this morning about family and about the mechanics of the church and how important it is not to lose the vision of the family. Let me tell you something. George H. Bush had a vision for his family. And it's evident. And I don't mind talking about him. George H. Bush, you know, George Herbert Bush, the first president. Amen. He had a plan for his family. What was that plan? That his sons would lead this country. And let me tell you something. He never backed down out of that vision. He knew he was right. He knew it was a biblical thing that he could have. Abraham had his seed, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and your name's in there somewhere. Amen. God believes the same way. What he did was just take a God concept. He said, "I'm right with God, and I'm going to hold this vision." And guess what? His oldest son, George W. Bush, is now the president of the United States. Why? Because he was right. He had vision. He took the faith that was inside of him. And he activated it. Now let me tell you something. Your faith won't activate if you're not right with God. Not only is George W. Bush the president, but his younger brother is the governor of one of the biggest, most populated states in the country, Florida. He had a plan. He was right with God. His heart was fixed. It was fixed on something. He did not waver. His heart was fixed along the way. I'm sure there were times in George H. Bush's life and Barbara's, his wife's marriage, that the devil tried to get in and destroy their boys and tried to destroy their careers and tried to, but he stayed fixed. He had the ability to stay fixed on what his vision was. Well, the one that's fixed on the Word and understands you've been given the measure of faith, amen, you can accomplish exactly what you're supposed to accomplish too. Go to Romans chapter 8. Verse 29. Romans chapter 8, and look at verse 29. I'm reading out of the Amplified. For those whom he did foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son. He's talking about you. You need to know how God thinks about you. You need to see how Jesus has set you in a place that not very many people have been set in. The faith that's inside you has activated your position, your right standing with God. You say, well, I haven't done that. Well, the faith inside you to do it. Look at what it says here. To be molded into the image of His Son and to share inwardly His likeness, that He might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom He thus foreordained, He's talking about you, He also called. And those who He called, He also justified. He acquitted. He made righteous, putting them in right standing with Himself. And those who He justified, He also glorified, raising them to a heavenly deity and condition or state of being. What then shall we say of all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? If we're right with God, who can be against us? Who can stop your vision from coming to pass in your family? Nobody can. When you're right with God, and God, all the power and authority that God has is at your fingertips, available to you, what is it that we can't do? Look, let's read on here. What then shall we say to all this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? He who did not withhold or spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us. Oh, wait a minute, folks. Did you hear me? He gave His only Son up for you. That's how much He loved you. He gave Jesus, His only begotten Son, for you to set you. That's how much He cared about you, to set you in right standing with Him. We've got to begin to fix ourselves on the Word. We've got to begin to fix ourselves on what Jesus did. We've got to begin to fix ourselves on how Jesus put us in a position. Who shall bring any charge, in verse 33, against God's elect? When is it? God who justifies, that is, who puts us in right relationship Himself? Who shall come forward and accuse or impeach those whom God has chosen? Will God? Will who acquits us? Who is there to condemn us? Will Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who died, or rather who was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, actually pleading as He intercedes for us? Who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Shall suffering, shall affliction, shall tribulation, shall calamity, shall distress, persecution or hunger, destitution, peril or sword? Even as it is written, for thy sake, we are put to death all the day long. We are regarded and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet amid all these things, we are more. Everybody say more. More than conquerors. And gain a surpassing victory through Him who loved us. Folks, that's what we've got to begin. The church of the living God has got to understand their position. We've got to start fixing our heart on our position with God. When we begin to see our position with God and our right standing with God, we begin to receive the power that God's given us. Now let me put it in these terms. Let's just say, we were talking about President Bush, so let's just use President Bush for a minute. What if President Bush walked in my office and then he walked out here and he walked up on the platform here, amen? And he said that FFI Church, at every event that I'm going to have when I'm reelected, I'm going to invite you first to the White House to celebrate the powers of the White House with you because I love you. How would you like to be invited to the White House? Come on now, y'all looking at me strange. I mean, either you're lying or you're dying. Come on now, my hand's raised. I'd like to go to the White House and hang and, you know, rub knobs and all that, you know, elbows and all that good stuff with the president. Have you ever been to the Oval Office?
Nope.
Come on now, I'd like to go to the Oval Office. You know, have your picture, you know, in that classic pose with the president behind his desk, or actually right in front of the desk of the, you know, and then the seal, you know, and the seal's on the floor there, and they catch the seal, and you and the president, and the window and the flag, and, you know, the whole nine yards. Come on now, isn't that something that you'd like to have on your wall? Huh? Well, what if he came in here, and he said that I'm going to give you that right. I'm going to give you that opportunity. I'm going to give you the authority. I'm going to give you the keys to the White House. Man, let me tell you something. If he walked in here and said that, I'd have about 40 or 50 people jumping up, running around, bumping into each other, trying to go out to get their cell phones so they could call their family. I'm going to the White House. I'm going to the White House. I mean, you'd be bumping into each other, running out, trying to start your car and stuff. Well, Jesus has set us in right standing with God, who has more power, more authority, more anointing, more access. He's the one that created everything the White House is built on. And He has set us in right standing. He has set us in a place. If we will fix our heart on what He has done at Calvary, He has given us that ability. Go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and look at verse 4. I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. For whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. Look at this. Whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. When you realize your right standing, the faith inside of you begins to work and operate. Go to Philippians chapter 4 and look at verse 13. Back there to your left, Philippians 4. Verse 13, again I am reading out of the Amplified Bible. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength in me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. Let's read this again. Who empowers me. Who empowers us. He gives us the power to tread on serpents. He gives us the power over sickness and disease. He gives us the power over poverty and sin. Why? Because we're right with Him. We're set in a place with Him. For what He did, He set us in a place of right standing. Let me tell you this. His words, the person who's right with God and the person who is fixed on God's words, His words have power.
That's right.
The person that is fixed on His righteousness and concentrates on His right standing with God and constantly concentrates on what Jesus did for him, His power, His words have power. His words have the same power that Jesus' words have. Now let's go over and look at Jesus and let's look at the power in His words. Go over to Mark. I'm going to go to the King James Version. Go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I want to show you something here. Look at verse 12. I want to show you a picture of Jesus, the man that was right with God, and the power that was in His words, and the power that was in His voice. When He said something, let me tell you something, mountains moved. Trees moved. People were healed. Things happened. Demons fleed. And you know, I dare say the church ought to be doing the same thing today. That's what we ought to be doing. Not just the pastor, not just the pastoral staff. The church ought to be doing this. The church ought to be casting devils out. The church ought to be laying their hands on the sick. The church ought to be demonstrating the person of Jesus. We're the right ones. We're the ones that are in right standing with God. Nothing can defeat us. Who is it? Peril? Trouble? What can conquer us when our hearts are fixed on the Word and our hearts are fixed on what Jesus did for us? Nothing can stop us. Nothing can stop you from achieving God's destiny in your life. Nothing.
Amen.
Look at verse 12, Mark chapter 11. And on the morrow when they were come from Bethany, He was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, He came, if happily He might find anything thereon. And when He came to it, He found nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Look at verse 14. And Jesus answered and said unto it. Now I want you to pay real close attention here. We're word people, so let's look at the word. Jesus turned and answered and said unto it. What was Jesus answering? Was there a person sitting there talking to Jesus? No. Jesus turned and spoke to a tree. Amen? Let me tell you something. A man spoke to concrete one day and poured the foundation of this building. A man spoke to steel and melted it down and formed the beams and the columns that you're looking at. A man spoke to the gypsum in the earth, dug it out. He spoke to it. He dug it out and he formed all the drywall that you see. A man spoke to a tree and cut and sawed every piece of trim that you see in this building. A man did that. Here Jesus is speaking to a tree. And what was the tree saying to him? I'm not going to fulfill what I'm called to do. Now here's something we miss. Let me read this to you. Here's something we miss here. We're talking about being fixed. And let me tell you something. Jesus was fixed on his righteousness. Now this is very interesting here. The fig tree afar off having leaves. The fig tree that Jesus was in the time of Jesus' disarration here, there were two types. The early fig and the late fig. Figs appeared before or with the leaves. Now, I don't know if you know much about fig trees, but I think the church misses what's being said here. When Jesus saw the leaves, and I don't know if you know much about fig trees, but when you see leaves, the fruit's automatically there. So in other words, he looked at this tree, he saw leaves, but there was no fruit. In other words, this tree was a counterfeit. Now let me tell you something, there's a lot of counterfeit Christians out there. They got the clothes, they got the house, they got the cars, they come to church, they do everything else. But there's no fruit because they don't know who they are in Christ Jesus. There's leaves there, see, but there's no fruit. Now these fig trees, you go study it out. As soon as Jesus saw the leaf, he expected the fruit because that's how God designed it. And God designed us to be right with him. He designed us to produce fruit. In this city, he designed us to demonstrate his glory, his anointing in this city. He designed us to pick up and pray for people. He designed us to teach and love and nourish. He designed us to have fruit abounding everywhere we went. But here Jesus saw a tree. It had leaves only but no fruit. What did Jesus do to it? Now a lot of people get messed up over this. What did he do? Well, he spoke to it, didn't he? Let's go back to the text here and look at this. He came thereon, where he came to it, he finding nothing but leaves, for the time of the figs was not yet. Look at verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. Now go to verse 19. And when evening was come, he went out of the city. In other words, when Jesus left Bethany that day, it was their custom. They'd spend the day inside the city, and then at night they would leave the city and then go out to the olive orchards or wherever that they would set up, where they had their camp set up, their tent set up, and that's where they'd stay at night, and then they'd go back into the city during the day. Now look at this, verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Let me tell you something, folks. Jesus, because his heart was fixed on his right standing with God, when he said something, it happened. He had the power of God on the inside of him. And when he spoke the word of God and he spoke things, he killed the tree from the very roots up. And you know what? Every born-again believer that's right with God ought to have the same power on the inside of them. When you say something, it ought to happen. When you say something, there ought to be power in your voice. When you say something, it ought to do it. Those words ought to accomplish exactly what they're set out to do. Now look at this. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Now this tells you how much the number one guy in the church at that time knew about faith and his right standing with God. Jesus, look at that tree. as if he really believed when Jesus spoke to that tree that it was going to happen. Jesus, look at that tree you spoke to. It's done dried up from the roots, and now it's dead. Look at what Jesus said. Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. Now here he was. Here was a great opportunity to show Peter and all the disciples their right standing and the power they had. To show them the ability they have with God. If they will just begin, everybody at the sound of my voice, if you're born again, you have the measure of faith on the inside of you. It doesn't matter what you've been called to do, business, home, whatever it may be. You have the power, you have the ability on the inside of you to bring that vision, to bring that destiny to pass. First thing you got to do is your heart's got to be fixed. You can't waver. James says if you waver and your mind is of a doubting mind, you are going to roll around and tumble around like tumbleweeds. Tiffany and I, a couple years ago, went out to Arizona, and then we went on up into Utah. And I mean, let me tell you something. Utah, every Mars movie that was ever filmed was filmed in Utah. I mean, because Utah looks like Mars. I looked at Tiffany and said, that's where all these space movies have been filmed right there. And you could just see the tumbleweeds flow around it. New Mexico, Arizona. I mean, that's the way a man is. It doesn't know his right standing with God. He goes from place to place to place, from house to house to house, job to job to job. He's not fixed on what God's given him. He doesn't say what he wants. He doesn't bring forth his vision and stand. Look at this. Jesus said, have the faith of God, for verily I say unto you, that now, I have a reference in my Bible that says, have the God kind of faith. Mm-hmm. Did you know you could have the God kind of faith? The God kind of faith is on the inside of you. The only prerequisite for getting the God kind of faith into the earth is for you to put it in the earth. How do you do that? Well, Romans chapter 10, that old Baptist scripture we all got saved by says that if you will confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, what are you doing? You're confessing the power of God, the Word of God. You're fixed on His Word. You're fixed on your position. The only way to get the God kind of faith into your life is you got to release it because it's on the inside of you. You know, it's like this lady, she needed healing, boy. And boy, I tell you what, she was praying and praying and praying. And I mean, she'd pray and she'd pray and she'd pray and she'd pray. And I mean, she was still sick. And she didn't know what to do. So she'd just pray. She'd come to church. She got to talking to me once. And said, Pastor, I said, I have prayed for 2 weeks is what she said. She said, I prayed and prayed. And I can't shake this. And she looked at me and she says, I've got the faith of God. I mean, the faith is inside of me to get me through this situation. And I looked at her and I said, yeah, you're right. The faith is on the inside of you. The only problem is you got to release it. You got to begin to start releasing the power that's on the inside of you by the confession of your words. And you can't confess nothing until you're right with God. Until you know you're standing with God. When you know you're standing with God and you know what Jesus has done for you, you have no problem getting up and declaring the blessings of God and what the Word says concerning you and your household. Now look at this. Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, now here's the good thing about this. This is for whosoever will. It didn't say just the members of FFI. Boy, we might put this on the web. We need to get this out. To let people know, whosoever will.
That's right.
That's who this power belongs to. It doesn't belong just to the members of FFI. It belongs to whosoever. Look at what? Whosoever will what? Whosoever shall say. See, there's a part. You have a part. You've got to do something. The power of God's on the inside of you. Now you've got to do something. You've got to be fixed first on your righteousness. You've got to know you're right with God. And when you know you're right with God, then you begin to take the power that's on the inside of you and you do what? You say something. Now, you know, I used to pray. I used to come in the church and I used to just sit there and pray. And that's why, you know, I'm never going to ask for any unspoken prayers. I'm sorry, I'm not, because when you pray, you're supposed to say something. Go over to Luke chapter 11 and study it out. Jesus said, when you pray, say. He said, you got to say something. Don't sit there and just think God's going to take care of your situation. He ain't going to take care of your situation. You got a part to play. He's given you the power. He's given you the authority over your household, over your position. Amen. You got to do something. You don't like where you're at. You don't like the situation you're in. Nobody's going to change it but you. You have the power. And when you get close to God and you get right with God, then you start to understanding, hey, I got the power of God. I'm right with Him. There's nothing separating. And Jesus never sinned, so everything He said came to pass.
That's right.
Every word that was spoken out of His mouth had power on it to accomplish exactly what He said. Look at what He said here. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now, that scripture right there is talking about the power of words. And Jesus spoke to a fig tree and it died. You know why he did, folks? Let me just tell you this. And I dare say most church members and most Christians today, I don't know if they can handle Jesus or not. Because here Jesus was very simple. You don't have any fruit in your life, nobody's ever going to eat of your tree, of your blessing. That's what he said. Now, a lot of people have that parallel that he was talking about the children of Israel. He spoke that, the Son of the living God. Why? Because we're supposed to have fruit. And he said, now this, he went to his disciples and said, now this is how you have fruit that abounds to your account. First, you're fixed on the Word. You know what the Word, you know I've, in other words, if he was standing, if Jesus walked through my office, he prayed, he came out here and he stood before us. And he said, folks, this is how you achieve your heart's desire and your destiny in your life. He said, you got to have the faith of God. He said, are you right with me? And I'm assuming everybody would say, yes, I'm a born-again, Spirit-filled, baptized believer. I'm right with you. And he said, this is how it works. He said, if you shall say. Now look at this verse right here. Look at this. Let's concentrate on it for a minute. Did you know he talked about saying three times in that one verse? So that ought to tell us how powerful our words are. When we're fixed on a right standing, when we say something, that ought to show you how powerful your words are. Now let me just tell you something. It works on both sides. Words of doubt and unbelief and fear will work. The Lord, the God of this world and His power will jump on those words and bring that power into your life just as fast as the Holy Ghost will bring the angels from heaven into your life. It works both ways. You start speaking doubt and unbelief and fear, and I can't, I'm never going to make it, they're not going to give me a raise, my family's going to go without, and guess what's on the way, brother? I mean, you're the prophet of your own life. Why? Because God's given you the power. You're right, and the power of God's on the inside of you, and you release that through words. You release it. And then all of a sudden you wonder why. Why am I in this situation? Why? Because you weren't fixed on the Word. You were fixed on fairy tales. You were fixed on what the economy said. And you were fixed on what Susie Lou told you last week. Instead of being fixed on what God told you. And the only way you can fix on what God tells you if you're right with God. Amen? Words carry power. Go to Psalms 107. Look at verse 20. Psalms 107. Look at verse 20. Words are the most powerful thing in the earth. Psalms 107 and verse 20. He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. I don't know if you need any deliverance. Amen. I don't know if you need to be healed somewhere. I don't know if you need to be delivered from a situation. The thing that's going to deliver you is your words. The power of your words is going to change the situation. Now see, now let me just tell you this. We talked about this morning. You can only live on somebody else's faith for so long. That's why many Christians, they stay in a faith-filled church where the power of God is preached. And man, when they're in the power of God, they can eat nails, Roger. I mean, and spit them out. And, but when they get back out in the world, it's like, oh, the world hits them. They don't know what to do. Why? Because you're living off somebody else's faith. There's coming a time where you got to get your own faith. You got to get right with God. And when you get right with God, the same faith that is in every business owner out here in this city for them to start businesses is in you. The same, some of them ain't even born again, but they're using the same principles and they're putting them to work. Let me just tell you something. You go out to Hogan Road and you drive out to Highway 64 and somebody moved a mountain out there.
Right.
They cut a hole right through a mountain and they took everything out of that mountain and they stuck it on a hill. Let me tell you something. Half the streets in this city are built on the gravel that came out of that mountain. How did it start? Somebody stood at the mountain and said, I'm going to move that mountain. And guess what? The faith on the inside of them developed a team around them to do exactly that. Same way in your life. Same way in your business. What your words, how you're fixed on the Word. How you're fixed on the Word. That's how it's going to come to pass in your life. Now, one other thing. I know we're running out of time here. Here's the man that's fixed on his right standing. First, his heart is fixed on the Word. Secondly, his words carry power. Thirdly, I want you to look at this. He is not afraid to give to others. Go back to Psalms 112. His heart is fixed on the Word. His words carry... You can always tell somebody that they're fixed on God. They're fixed on their right stand because when they say something, brother, it comes to pass. You ever been around those people? You just, I don't know what it is about you, but I want to be around you. There's just something about that person that's just drawing you. And you don't know what it is. Your brain ain't figured it out yet. It's the anointing operating in that person's life because they're right with God and you're a creation of God and you're drawn to that because that's how you're supposed to operate.
Amen.
That's exactly how you're supposed to operate. And you're drawn to that. Why are you drawn to successful people? Because the anointing, when people are successful, if they operate, you know, some people ain't even saved get successful. They generally don't keep their success because they use the principles of God, but they're not born again. They can't keep them in their life. But the people that are truly successful, when you're around them, there is something about that person that draws you. And Jesus said, when I'm lifted up and I'm preached and my right standing is preached, all men will be drawn unto that anointing. They'll be drawn unto me. And that power. So his heart is fixed on the Word. His words carry power. And he's not afraid to give to others. Go back to Psalms 112. And let's look at this last point before we close. Psalms 112. Look at verse 6. Now I'm reading out of the Amplified. He will not be moved forever. The uncompromisingly righteous, the upright, in right standing with God, shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is firmly fixed, trusting, leaning on, and being confident in the Lord. His heart is established and steady. He will not be afraid while he waits to see the desire established upon his adversary. Now look at verse 9. He distributes freely. See, when you're right with God, and let me just tell you this. Now, I'm going to put this in business terms because somebody told me this. I was in the architecture business. You guys bear with me because I think this is a word for somebody. I was in the architecture business for years and years. When I started as a young man back in the mid-80s, we were drawing everything by hand. It was manual labor, folks, let me just tell you. Pencils, erasers, and straight edges. And we had to draw hundreds and hundreds of drawings. It was a lot of work, a lot of work. And you know, architecture and art is a creative trade or professional, amen? And I'm sure there's a lot of other professions. I'm not just trying to isolate them. I'm just talking about these because I know something about these. You could probably stand up and once I say this, you could probably talk about the trade that you're in the same aspect. But in the late 80s, our profession had to make a turn. And I think most households in America, if you haven't made this turn, you're going to. We had to turn to computers. And let me tell you something. There were a lot of people that were afraid in our profession to switch over to computers and to begin to start drawing with computers. I never was afraid. Well, now that everybody is drawing with computers, there's a fear if you can't draw with a computer, you can't create architecture. Now, you can put this in any light or any profession that you're in. Let me tell you something. The power ain't in the computer. The power's in you. The creative power to bring God ideas into the earth is not in some software. It's not into some business. It's inside of you. If you ever get to a point where somebody tells you that you can't do something because you don't have a college degree or you don't have the training or you don't have what's necessary, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. All you need is to be right with God and to have His words on your lips, because He created everything you see with His words. That's how powerful they are. And all you got to do, and let me just tell you this, I dare say most of the CEOs that created 80% of the businesses in this city don't even have a college education. They had faith somewhere in their life where they started out, and then they were smart enough to figure out, I better hire somebody with a college education to take care of my money. I better take care of my administration. I better figure out that my HR, you know. They don't know nothing about HR, so I better hire somebody to know something about that. What did they do? They had the faith inside of them. They spoke it out of their mouth, and it began to come to pass in their life. It starts by being fixed on your ability with God, being right with God. Now it says here, now look at this. People that are afraid, this is what I'm getting to. People that are afraid to give are afraid they're not going to get any more money. Fear is from the devil. Fear is a byproduct of your separation from God. When you're afraid not to give, what you're saying, now listen to me, I'm going to be the loving pastor. I want y'all to come back next week, amen, so we can share the word, amen, the power groups and everything else. But let me just share this with you, amen. The power, when you say, I can't give, the Bible says that the word is quick and it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It exposes everything around you. Amen? So when you say, I can't give, I can't build, I can't do this, you're exposing your relationship with God. You're exposing your position with God. You're exposing your right standing or your lack of right standing, because God will replace everything. And that's the thing Tiffany and I figured out. Let me tell you something. It took a step of faith. We began to give. I remember I broke the back of poverty in my life. I sewed a $1,000 check into a building program. It was hard. This was many years ago. I don't know if you've ever wrote a $1,000 check to church or not, but let me tell you, the first one I wrote, it was hard. But as soon as I wrote that check and put it in the offering bucket, I knew I could do that because I was right. I saw my place with God. I saw His ability on the inside of me. I saw that ability could come out and create an atmosphere to produce prosperity and wealth in my life if I would just put it to work. So I sowed that. How did I sow it? How did I let go of that thing, knowing that God was going to replace it? How did He replace it? The creative ability and the power that He's given me, the anointing of God. Now, every one of you at the sound of my voice has the same power inside of you. Every one of you's got it. And the only way that you start the power operating in your life is be fixed on the Word, okay? Understand that you carry it with your words, amen? And then you got to put it into action. You got to begin to just speak it. And let me tell you something, your family's going to think you're crazy. They thought Jesus was crazy. They wanted to kill Him. They wanted to throw Him off a cliff. When He went to Lazarus' tomb and said, Lazarus, stand up and get out of there. Those people thought, oh my Lord, He's been dead 3 days. Jesus didn't have a problem with that. He spoke the power right out of His mouth. And God had to honor it. Why? Jesus never sinned. Jesus never sinned. So everything He asked the Father was obligated to perform. See, He had never sinned once. Now see, you're thinking in your mind, yeah, but Pastor, you don't know where I've been. You don't know my life. You don't know my education. You don't know where I, you know, what I said. You don't know. No, what I do know is this. Jesus got nailed to a cross to erase all that. Oh boy, that'll set you on fire right there. He got nailed to a cross to erase all that. All you have to do is believe. You got to believe in what He did. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus.